on up there? Okay. All right. So before we start, I want to welcome you, especially if this is your first time here today. We're just excited that you're here because this is a special, and please don't judge me when I say this. This is like probably my favorite service of the year. Yes, even above Christmas Eve and even Easter. I could tell you when we're alone, but I'm not going to get into it now. I'm just grateful that you're here. You're going to hear God's word through the lives of our people today, and I am excited about that. If you're here for the first time, we welcome you. We're glad you're here, and we can share, and we hope that you make time to stay afterwards to be a part of our Thanksgiving luncheon downstairs. How many children do we have here today? Show of hands. All right, three adults that still think themselves children, okay? I have you logged in my mind. We'll talk. Children, all the children, did you get coloring books and crayons when you first came in? Yes? Okay. So I want to invite the children, if you would like to have front row seats, I reserved the front row for you guys. Bring your coloring books and crayons, all right? So you can hang out. You're going to get to hear some great stories. I want you to feel relaxed. You can listen, you can color, you can draw. Yes, even my granddaughters, you're invited up here. One day they're going to go, why does Grandpa always have to single us out? All right, so come on, Mia, bring your big sister. All right, so with that, I'm going to hand the service over to Pastor Nick and Tiffany. Okay.
If you don't mind standing with me, we'll open with one short chorus and then a few different things, and then we'll sing again. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad again. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Woo! Nice standing. Really far with me. Going to take a moment for prayer here. Lord, this morning as we have gathered together, Lord, in your house, and yet you're the one who's been waiting for us. Think of those words that Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, let him see. This morning, Lord, let us have eyes to see who you are. Mm. Ears to hear and know, Lord, how much you love us, O God. Lord, ears to hear that still small voice that's going to speak to us today as we spend this time with you. And Lord, today as we take this time to recognize and give thanks for all that we have, let this be multiplied in our heart, Lord, that it's more than just the possessions that we have, but it's the gift of life that you've given to us. Yes. So Lord, as we go through this time, Lord, bring healing, bring strength, bring counsel, bring all that we need. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
No, I don't want you to be seated.
Don't be seated.
Well, if be
seated if you want to, it's okay.
Thank you.
are not alone. If you are lonely when you feel afraid, you're not the only. We're all the same. In need of mercy to be forgiven and be free. It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need. And all the people say amen. If you're rich or poor, well, it don't matter. Weak or strong, you know love is what we're after. We're all broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble and fall. And he so loved the world, he sent his son to save us all. And all the people said amen. Whoa. For his love never ends. And all the people say amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit who are torn apart. Blessed are the persecuted and the pure in heart. Blessed are the people hungry for another star. For this is the kingdom of God. And all the people said amen. Whoa, ho, ho, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen. Whoa, ho, ho, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to Lord, for his love never ends, and all the people say amen, and all the people say amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Good to be in the presence of the Lord.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever. To the setting sun, his love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever.
Praise the Lord. forever, forever. You are God forever and forever, forever, forever.
Amen. Now you may be seated. Hallelujah.
I just wanted to stop everything and take the time today to let you know how very thankful I am that you've been there for me.
I want to say thanks for never giving up on me.
Thank you for providing meals for us after Blake's surgery.
Thanks for making sure I always had a ride to chemo.
And thank you for helping me through this difficult season in my life, God.
Thank you, God, for teaching me to be a strong single dad.
Dear God, thank you so much for giving me this new job. I love it.
Thanks for sending Jeff to take my shift last week so I could be with my family.
For keeping me company on the first day of school.
Thank you, God, for helping us get that bill paid.
Thank you, God, for the clothes on my back.
For giving me the courage to speak the truth.
Thank you for forgiving me.
For making my day better.
For giving my life a melody.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
For every single day. And one final thing, God. Thank you for always loving me. No matter what.
So believe it or not, that video was actually people riding in the car, but somehow we froze. Yeah. So, but you're always good. You always bear with us. So before we kind of get rolling today, I wanted to give our children an opportunity to see if they would like to tell God one thing they would like to thank God for. So any of you, would you? Any of you? Yeah? Got one hand? All right. Just your name and what you thank God for.
Josh, and I'm thankful for everything that we have had, including church.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Myla, and I'm thankful for the Bible.
Amen. You and me both. Would you like to thank God for something?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thankful for my dad.
Thanks for mommy and daddy. I will second that.
The Bible.
Okay. Paige, no? All right. Okay. So, I'm going to just do a little furniture arrangement here this morning so that we have better lighting for the streaming video that we do here. And while I'm doing that, we're going to have just a moment of prayer. I have asked individuals to come up and share their story today. And the first person that I had to come up was Marianne Mavridis. And for those of you who don't know Marianne, Marianne's been a big part of this church for a great many years. She has been a big part. Some might say not just being a big part of the pantry here at the church, but that in some respects, she has been the food pantry for this church. And She has been through a lot this past year, and she was scheduled to be our first person today to come up and share her story with us. Unfortunately, I received a phone call from Marianne on Saturday morning telling me that her brother Angelo had passed. And so, in light of the fact that she's not here, I just thought it would be a good thing if we just joined our hearts together and said a prayer for her and her family. All right? Let's join that together and do that. Our Father, with every day that passes, I realize that the lives that we have around us and that we engage in are all gifts. And Father, certainly today, Marianne is one of those gifts, oh God. And we thank you for the years of devotion and love to you and to others that she has exemplified, Lord God. Lord, just a loving and welcoming soul. Lord, today we want to remember her and the family in their time of loss and having to say goodbye and let go of Angelo. And Lord, as we do that today, oh God, I pray, Lord, that in the midst of their sorrow, Lord, that you would bring joy in the remembrance of all that Angelo was to that family, Lord God. Marianne shared that her brother was like a dad to her, that whenever she needed him, he was there. And Lord, that is a gift. And I pray, oh God, that as they think upon Angelo's life, Lord, that they would be filled with joy as much and much more than sorrow, Lord God, in who he was and what he brought to the family. Lord God, as we go on today, Lord, help us to be continually in an attitude of praise and thanksgiving for all the lives, all the gifts that you have given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for doing that with me. So this morning, to start our interviews off, I've asked Tony Cerruto to join me. Tony? Let's make sure we get this on for you. Are you good with that?
Hello? Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
So for the record, did I do anything to twist your arm to get you here?
No.
Okay.
No.
You don't feel coerced or manipulated?
No.
Okay. All right. I didn't send any messages to Stephen to work on you?
No.
Okay. All right. So what I've experienced is in my time here, God's visitation. And a lot of times, right, we're going through life and we're doing our thing trying to make the best of it, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden, God shows up and there's something that he points out to us, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I was remembering, I was walking down after a service and Tony grabbed me.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, right? Because
mm-hmm.
if you don't remember that, we're going to be in trouble.
No.
All right, this is the narrative, okay?
I remember that, yes.
Now, keep in mind, for everyone that comes up, I'm giving them an opportunity before our little interview is done to thank God for whatever it is that you would like to thank God for.
Mm-hmm.
But there are different messages that I have gotten since I've been here with people that I've come up across, and I wanted to bring that narrative. And I know that day made an impact on me,
mm-hmm.
because the Lord visited you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he was moving. And I just thought maybe you just share a little bit about, like, how he came to you and touched you at that moment, because I know you were very moved.
Yes, I was. You know, I don't really recall. I know I remember the feeling I had, but I don't remember exactly, like, the whole situation. It all seems like a blur now, honestly. But I do remember feeling like just a sense of, like, peace and calmness, like, everything is going to be okay. You know, I'm someone who struggles with anxiety. I think a lot of people can relate to that. And, you know, me and Steve, we were going to make a major decision that set off my anxiety. And, you know, I just felt like I wasn't really trusting God enough with it. You know, I felt like I was putting a lot of pressure on myself, and I felt like, I don't know, I just, I kind of lost sight of stuff, I guess, you know. I wanted to believe so much that God had answered a prayer, I guess. I don't know. I think I was just putting a lot of pressure on myself, though. I think that I let anxiety get the best of me. And, you know, I don't think I was really, really praying like I should have been praying. Like, it's really hard for me to describe. I think what I struggle with is being real with God. I think that's really what I always kind of struggled with a little bit. You know, like, I always felt like I had to be this perfect Christian. You know, and just, it's very hard to describe. Yeah. I don't really know. I just felt like during that day, I came to the realization that, you know, up until that point, I wasn't really praying, you know, like the way I should have been praying. Like, and that, what I mean by that is being real with God. He already knows what we're feeling. He already knows what we're thinking. We don't have to pretend like, oh, everything is okay. Everything's going to be great. Everything is going to be good. Like, we don't have to pretend. Like, everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be, you know, fine in the end. But it starts with, you know, we have to be real with God. We have to pray what we're really feeling, what we're really thinking, what we're really, like, you know, needing help with. You know, I think that's really where I was coming from on that day, like, just being able to really pray the way I should have been praying, you know, and being real with God. Yeah.
And I think it's so easy for us to have this image. And a lot of times, I don't know about you, but when I think about how other people might be looking at me, I start thinking about, what image do they have? And then I put that on myself, and then I want to try to conform, because I think I need to conform to a certain image. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to our relationship with God, there is there's no image to conform to.
No.
Because he sees us. We're transparent to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees right through us. And so we just have to be who we are.
Right.
And I think that day when you grabbed me, and I'm so glad, because I was, like, just so blessed to be brought into a moment where God had come alongside you and touched you.
Yeah.
And it seemed like if I could, like, the imagery I kind of got was like you were like almost like in a dryer. And you were getting tumbled, you know, tumble dried, right? Just flipping the clothes around. And then it seemed like it stopped. And you had a sense that it was okay.
Right. Yeah.
And it was
that.
because he visited you, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So
I think what we have to remember is that God loves us, and that if we have any type of fear, or a fear of punishment, fear with anxiety, worry, doubt, whatever it is, that's not from God. We have to remember that his love is perfect, and that if we feel any of those things, fear of punishment, then we haven't really truly experienced, you know, his perfect love, because in his perfect love, there is no, you know, fear.
Right. Casts out all fear.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's something that I constantly always try to recall and remember. You know, when I deal with, like, you know, thoughts of, you know, negativity and worry and doubt and, you know, anxiety, I deal with that stuff. And
I by the way, I don't think anybody out there deals with this.
No,
I don't think this is a struggle for anyone out there. I think they got it down. So I don't know if they were able to relate to what you're saying.
And I think the main thing, like, I'm trying to get at is that when those thoughts come on, I try to replace those thoughts with positive thoughts and affirmations and things that, you know, the Word of God tells us. Like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right.
I constantly try to recall that one, you know. I think that's really what God put on my heart, you know, because I'm not someone who really likes to do public speaking. I don't think I've ever done this, actually.
By the way, I think you're doing very well.
I've never really gotten up and talked in front of this congregation before. Most people think I'm probably very quiet and, you know, whatever. But I really felt led to talk today about, you know, if you're dealing with any of that stuff, you don't have to. You know, you can just give it to God, let go, and remember all the positive things.
We've been talking about God, you know, kind of this is the conclusion today of the God Form series that we've been covering. And part of that forming is God coming up to us and making his presence real to us. And, you know, when that happens, I think that it's worth noting if not literally, just in our hearts, noting God visited me on this day. Mm-hmm. Because certainly we can kind of recount that day or recall it, but there's nothing like being there. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, as you pulled me into the row and we sat there and talked,
I was blown.
I'm not expecting to remember, but I was blown away.
No, I don't remember every word and every but I just remember crying, just pouring my heart out, just crying. Yes. And I don't know, I just felt like that service really spoke to me. Like whatever it was that you were preaching about, like it really spoke to me. And I think I just felt like, I don't know, I just felt like God was using you to speak to me. That's really, I think that's what I said to you.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
So, right. I don't know, I just felt like everything was going to be okay.
Yeah. If it makes you feel any better, I don't remember exactly every word either.
Yeah.
But I know that God was present.
I want to say
that I have similar experiences. I could be at home and something's happening, and all of a sudden I feel like the finger of God has been placed on my shoulder, and I just have this meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you were having, this wonderful meltdown. And mm-hmm. I was, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was definitely crying. That's really actually, honestly, like I always worry about what people think of me. Like, I don't ever want people to know what's going on with me in my life. I really don't. Like, I'm a very private person. I don't like when people see the vulnerable side of myself, you know. And that day, I remember not caring at all. I was just bawling. People can look. I don't even care, anymore, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's really what God was saying to me. Like, just to... Who cares? Stop worrying. You gotta just focus on you. You know.
That's right. That's so it. Awesome. So before I let you off the hook, mm-hmm. and you can sit down, anything that you would just publicly like to thank God for today?
For clarity. For always being there. I mean, He's there no matter what. So it doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what you do. He always loves you.
Awesome. Thank you, Tony. Thank you so much. Appreciate your bravery. There goes a brave soul. All right, next on the hit list, Mrs. Cara Fasano. Where are you? Sit. I can see by the tight grin on your face, you're not at all nervous.
No.
So.
Oh, boy.
Well, listen, I want to publicly and personally thank you for making time in your busy schedule
to be
here today. I really appreciate it.
We got to leave
right after
this, too.
What's that?
We got to leave right after this
right
for
this. So, do I have you in the right time slot?
Yes.
Good. Just to give the people who don't know you some background why you're so busy. So you're a wife?
Yeah.
You're a mother of how many?
Three.
The ages?
11, 4, and 11 months.
Right. And these children are not at all active, right?
No,
I mean, they're
no.
very docile. They quiet. They sit at home.
Do nothing.
Yeah, nothing. And you also work?
Two jobs. Yes.
Two jobs.
Yes.
Doing?
I work at Stony Brook Dental School, and I teach dental assisting at Eastern Suffolk BOCES.
Right. So if any of you are trying to track her, you will need a very good radar system.
I made him nervous because he was trying to get in touch with me. And I was like, always so busy. So
listen, don't share my vulnerability with the people. Let me do that, okay?
He was harassing me.
That's not good. This is being streamed. This is not good. Okay?
I'm kidding. He was very patient.
Good recovery. Thank you. So recently we dedicated Robinson.
Yep.
Richard, right? I have it in the right order, right?
Yep.
So and that was a great moment.
Yeah.
It allowed us to get to know one another
and
get the family. Up to that point, you were just Rich's wife, in my mind anyway, you know, the guy who comes, he's the contract.
I'm used to that.
You're used to that.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's time you come up right up alongside him. So we had that experience together. And in that, we talked a little bit about your past, you know. Mm-hmm. And so the narrative I started getting was, God is really making a change in your life. Yeah. And a lot of times he seems to be changing things, but people around us don't realize it because they don't have the opportunity to get to know us. And so it speaks really the importance of coming together and getting to know one another and sharing our lives with the other, because there's power in that, right? Yeah. Because when I can get to hear God working in her life, I'm going, I mean, if he could do that in Kara's life, why can't he do that in my life? And that the fact is he can, you know? And so we got to talking, and there were things happening, but you were reflecting on how, and here's where I want to go with this, how you once would deal with things versus now how you deal with things, you know?
Yes.
So, I already shared this with her, so I know I'm not saying anything that she doesn't already heard. But the scripture that came to my mind is that God will take our heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh, right? And so you have seen that happening in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And
the people that know me have seen it.
Right, yeah. Right. So you could be tough. Yeah?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, a little? On a scale from 1 to 10, since you shared some of my vulnerability, I just want to go there with you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how hard could you be?
An 11.
Love your honesty. Okay. And isn't that true? You know, we sometimes break the gauge. You know, it kind of pushes the needle past the red, and the point of snaps and the glass cracks and so what's happened in your journey with him that has been working at you? I mean, how is he getting in to soften your heart? What are there things that he's showing you, speaking to you? If you, is there something that you can put your hand on and say, you know, I think this is what God has shown me, and this is what's changing my heart towards others?
Specifically, last year I had like a devastating event happened to me while I was pregnant with my son, and you know, my first inclination was to handle it the way I normally do, which is to hit or punch or whatever is closest by me, which was the old me. That was the old me. But I handled it differently than I normally would, which is not me. So I at that point said, that's got to be God, because I don't know, you know, what else would have made me handle this differently, because I definitely didn't want to handle it that way at first. Mm. But after the fact, and now I realize God had his hand on the situation, even though it seemed horrible at the time, you know.
So you weathered the storm.
Yeah.
And you took a different path.
Yeah.
And you watched God work in your situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, what you're getting is a great practical description of how grace shows up in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, we think that we'll do fine if we can just, when that thing comes, that we kind of brace ourselves for the impact, you know? Yeah. And that's not how God's grace works. A lot of times we are just on the edge of getting thrown off the cliff. Just on the edge, a moment away from getting compacted up against a wall by a rock, a boulder. And all of a sudden, our thoughts, our actions, our reactions are not what we were used to and what we know of ourselves. And it kind of blows your mind, you know? Because I think that's when God is saying, okay, let me show you what I'm doing in your life. Let me have you taste my grace. And grace is just that. It is a power that goes beyond our own choices,
yeah,
our own actions, right? Right, that certainly was
absolutely
not the choice, right?
Yeah, people that know me well and have known me forever, I'm a fighter. I'm the type of person that's always willing to fight for somebody. If I'm backed into a corner, I come out fighting. I've just always been that way, always. And some people like that, and some people don't. So, you know, I've always been one. I'm pretty much a person that there's really no middle road. It's either you like me or you don't. And I'm one of those people that's just like, whatever. If you don't like me, you don't like me. And if you do, cool. But I've always been a fighter since I'm young, because of my childhood and all that other stuff. So
I've just always been that way, to come out fighting. And if even my friends and family have always known me, whenever my friends and family got in trouble, they always came to me because they knew Kara would be there to, you know, fight their battles for them. And that's just the way I am. But I'm just trying to do less fighting. Trying to do less fighting now and letting God handle my battles, which is extremely hard for me. But I'm trying. And I don't always, I'm not good at it yet, but.
Thank you, Becky. Yeah, and there's a message in that. None of us have arrived. We're all works in progress. We have our ups, and God knows we have our downs. And I know you're tough. That's why I try to line up my sports teams with the teams that you like too, so that I don't cross you in any way. You know, so one thing that really came out in our time together as we were preparing for Robinson's dedication, I'm like, oh man, I got to line up with her on the sports teams, you know? Because she was a lot tougher to work with than Rich, you know?
So. I am, definitely. I'm a tough one, but I'm trying. I'm trying my hardest. One of the things that I voiced to Pastor during one of our conversations is that, you know, I'm like, I'm trying my hardest, and I do try every day. I literally try every day to, like, you know, be a better example and try to do things better than I would normally handle things, and I'm not very good at it. And I told him the only thing I'm nervous about is that I do try to talk more about God and rely on God, but I'm not always good at it. So that's the only thing that concerns me lately, is that I've, you know, sometimes when I do slip up and all that other stuff, I'm kind of like, ugh, I messed up. But one of the things that I'm thankful for is that God's not that judgmental. Amen. And He still loves me, even when I mess up.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah, so I struggle, but yeah. I'm getting through.
Well, I want to say to you, you're not alone. I think many of us, especially myself, that our actions quite often don't measure up with the desires of our heart.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that we long for more. I think we desire more than we are able to attain at this time. But that's part of the journey, because there's something eternal in each of us that is calling us to something more, something higher, something that God has placed there. And nothing on this earth can fulfill that and bring it about. Again, it comes back to His grace and His presence in our lives. And so I just know you're not alone. If it's just me, I'm with you, you know. But I don't think it's just me. I think that if we're all honest with ourselves and we examine our lives and say, I just desire so much more. I desire to be closer with God. I desire to know Him better. I desire my words to be more encouraging and helpful to people. And oh God, help me, you know. And I think that's the cry of your heart. And I'm grateful for it, because it blesses me and it lets me know I'm not alone.
And unlike Tony, I have zero problems telling God how I feel. Zero. I'm like, seriously, God? Seriously? Like, are you serious right now? And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna let you deal with this, because I'm not really agreeing with it, but I'll let you deal with it. So, but of course He knows best, so I have to take a back seat sometimes, which I'm not used to doing. So
so before you step down and get into your busy day.
Craziness. Yeah.
The craziness of life. What would you like to just publicly thank God for before?
Oh, God. A lot. But the main thing I'm thankful for is for Him. I have to say, I like things that are real and people that are real. And obviously, God is real. But I feel like He talks to me sometimes, and He's just like, Kara, let me break this down for you, because you're not listening. So I really feel like He just kind of shuts me down sometimes and is like, this is how it's going to be, and you're going to have to deal with it. And that's how I need to be talked to, because that's just the way I am. So yeah. I'm thankful that He shuts me down sometimes and tells me, no, that's not how you... And I feel God takes certain situations out of my hands because he knows I would probably handle it in a bad way. So he's like, nope, I'm not going to let Kara be in this situation because she's not going to handle it the way I really want her to handle it. So, which is good because sometimes you can't trust me to do it that way. God knows. He knows.
Well, I do believe you to be one of his daughters. And like your Father in heaven, who is real, you are real. And I think that's why I connect with you so much.
Yeah.
And I appreciate your realness. And even if you're raw, you know,
yeah,
because life is raw. And sometimes we get there. So, but I want to thank you for taking the time out today and to be with us and to share your story.
Thank you.
Kara.
Thank you.
Love you. Have a great day. So I want to. We're gonna have two breaks in our service for offerings. Now, if you're new to the church, I want to tell you that there's only a couple times in a year we take two offerings, and this is one of them. And the second one is not for us. It's for world evangelism, and that money goes out into the mission field to help bring the gospel to people who need it and to support them. Today, this first offering is our regular tithes and offerings, so if you're a visitor, this is not for you. Even if you came prepared to give something, hold on to it. If you want to give, save it for the second offering, but this is for our regular members, which is our regular tithes and offerings, okay? And ushers, come forward as Pastor Nick and Tiffany play for us.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. Yeah, I'm in that place once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at the saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. And I'm full of praise once again. Once again, I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the cross, my friend. Yes, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. I thank you for the cross, my friend. And once again I look up on the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Once again I look upon that cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life.
more songs?
I don't remember if we were doing two.
I gotta look at your cheat sheet here.
Ah, cheat sheet.
Okay. Tony Cerruto, we got that?
It's two more songs.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're not in order, so.
Yeah, no, I missed it. For the record, I missed the offering earlier, so.
Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the cross. And thank you for the price you paid. Thank you.
So let's see who's next. Diane, Silo, rise, come forth. I know, not as dramatic as calling you from the grave, but I wouldn't want to do that. So.
Yeah, it's a good thing it's in now. My blood pressure's like 104.
All right.
Okay. Gotta get this thing going now.
Brian, I'm sorry. Okay. Why would your blood pressure be up?
Because she didn't call on me right away.
So just think of the impact, the anticipation, the anxiety.
You're killing me. And with this light, it's like, where were you on the night of the 4th?
Why, you have something to hide?
Everybody's got something to hide. But unlike Tony, I spill my guts. All you have to do is ask me and I'll
That's
tell
good,
you.
That's good. So you have a thin veneer, we're just going to scratch that a little. And
sure.
Okay. So, I've had the pleasure of working with you through your baptism, mm-hmm. which was nothing but a pure blessing for me, because as Diane said, she does not kind of hold back, she shares. And I was the benefactor of your sharing as we went to the baptism class because you just shared some very powerful things at that time relating back in your life that God had been doing. So I wasn't really too shocked when we had another opportunity at a Bible study right. to get to talking. And Diana's story, I just kind of gripped me because it just reeked of God's presence and working out in your life. It was
you can't deny it.
Yeah.
You can't explain it.
Right. And they'll understand it once you explain mm-hmm. it to them. But I would just say this before you talk, is that when God does things that are beyond our power, it's unmistakably Him. Just as Carol was talking about grace and Tony touched on what God was doing, you know, it's all a part of this experience of God coming up alongside us, touching us, changing us, shaping us, reshaping us, and working in our lives. So the narrative here, for me anyway, is, and not that you have to follow this narrative, but just what came through to me was the trusting in Him in prayer and then watching Him work. So give us a little background here for your
story. Okay, it's like a really long story, so I'm going to try to cut it short. So if anybody has like questions, you can grab me later. But my husband, my late husband, Jim, he was in a partnership with his friend Sal in an automotive repair shop. And they were supposed to be separate, you know, separate from our personal finances. But what happened was Sal was in charge of the finances. Jimmy was in charge of fixing the cars. Jimmy let Sal do everything with that. Anyway, in 2011, they found out that Sal didn't pay the income taxes for the business in 2009. So they owed a lot of money. And Jimmy went ballistic and told Sal that he's responsible for paying that. He's not paying a penny of it. So every time when you paid your income taxes and you got a check back, Jimmy went up to Sal and said, give me my $3,000 that the government took from me. Anyway, the government was going to shut them down, so what they had to do was put my house up for lien. Put a lien on my house. So 2014, Jimmy was diagnosed with cancer, and he died in 2016. It became evident that I couldn't afford my house, so I put it up for sale. But there's a lien on my house. And what the government did, they put the same amount on my house and they put the same amount on Sal's house, and it didn't matter. Whoever came up first with the money, the lien was taken off. So my neighbors had scared me to death that I was going to get this really low amount for my house, and I owed a lot on my house. So I stood one day in my kitchen, and I've said this a lot of times during my life, God, please help me. But through this church, I found out exactly what that meant. I did it once before in February, where I felt it. I didn't say it. I felt it, and I said, Lord, please help me. Those that were at my baptism know there was a drinking problem involved, and
I just gave it over to the Lord. I said I couldn't do it. I've tried before and I can't, and I'm 9 months sober. So obviously it works. I told you, anything you want to know, just ask me. So now I'm in my kitchen, and I said, Lord, please, you have to do this for me. It's like the first undertaking I had to do by myself that my husband, Jim, wasn't involved in. And I said, you have to take this from me. I can't do it. I just let me walk away with $50,000, because now I'm bargaining. Just let me walk away with $50,000. I don't care if I have to pay the lien, which was really important to me because Jimmy was so adamant that he wasn't paying a penny, and now his house money is going to pay this lien. This is a really important part, and that's why I'm stressing it. So
it's fine. You can stress all you want.
Thanks. Let's see if it's going down.
No, listen. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop that.
Okay. And the agreement was that the Lord took this over. So it's all on him now. And that's very, very hard to do. Anybody that's ever done it, it's extremely hard. Twice I was challenged. And the second time he got mad at me. Again, that's, you want to ask me later? I'll tell you later. But first day, my house was on the market. I sold it the first day. It was not anticipated. It also went into a bidding war. But I did go with the first person that I sold it to. They were just right for the house. So Sal agreed to sign this promissory note that he would pay the $20,000 on the lien. A lot of people told me not to do it. He wasn't reliable. But I had gone into this agreement. And so I was going through with it. And at the Bible study, because I was now, well, you know, yeah, I walked away with $70,000 for the sale of my house, not the 50. So that's the 20 from the lien, right? You would think. But being human, it was like, well, you know, I really should have been 90,000 I walked away with, because Sal still owed the $20,000. Well, Sal, to this date, and it's 5 months, has not paid one penny. So my dilemma was this, and this is what I went to Pastor Vinny with. I made this agreement with the Lord for $50,000, and he gave me $70,000. I was trying to respect Jimmy's wishes of Sal still paying that $20,000. This was really important to me. The other thing that was important to Jimmy was Social Security. He wanted his Social Security. He was working since he's 13 years old. And, you know, those IRS people or government people or Social Security people weren't going to get his money.
I hope nobody here works at the IRS, right? If you do, you're just going to have to forgive, okay?
Well, he died the day before he was eligible for his first check. So, yeah. So, again, I felt really bad. So, anyway, I'm 65 now. I go to Social Security. I'm going to be retiring, and I get this really nice guy. And he says to me, you know, you can get your late husband's Social Security. And I said, yeah, I know, but I can only make $14,000 or whatever. And he goes, no, because what year do you turn 66, which is my full retirement age? I said, 2020. He goes, as of January, you can collect your late husband's Social Security. I said, really? So he goes, yeah. He goes, let's see. You're going to get $1,400 on yours, and Jimmy's is $1,800. Now, Sal was supposed to pay me $400 a month. I just pay me what you're paying the IRS now, which is $400 a month. So that's the $400 a month payment. At 70 and a half, I will collect my own, because at that point mine is higher. So from now until then, it's $20,000 that I will have gotten extra from Jimmy's Social Security. So not only did it say, the Lord say, you know, listen, I'm giving you the $20,000, but he let me know that Jimmy is okay with it. Jimmy is saying, listen, take my Social Security, you know, and it's all good. But I got to just share a quick joke. When that guy said that to me about I could get Jimmy's money, it was like that joke, you know that joke where the guy's drowning and he falls off a ship and he's drowning. And he says to the Lord, Lord, please save me. And a boat comes by, and the guy says, give me a hand, I'll pull you out. He says, no, God's going to save me. Second boat comes, says, give me a hand, I'll pull you out. No, God's going to save me. He leaves, and the third boat comes and says, give me a hand. No, God's going to save me. And then the guy drowns. And he gets up to heaven, he goes, God, why didn't you save me? He goes, I sent you three boats. Well, that's exactly what I thought of when that guy said that. I got the $50,000 I wanted. I got the $20,000 extra, and now I'm getting the $400. It's like, it was incredible to me. So anyway, that's my story.
Yeah.
But you can't explain that away. And the first time I was challenged, and it's also the second time the Lord ever spoke to me. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the Lord actually speak to you, but it's a pretty freaky thing. The first time was on 83 when I'm driving in the car at night, and it was like, what are you trying to do, kill me? It's like, I'm looking in the back seat, like, somebody in the car? But what happened was my youngest son, was not too happy about me selling the house. He lived upstairs, I lived in the basement. It was very early on in the stages. The house hadn't even been sold yet, or it hadn't even been on the market yet. And he texted me to say that, you know, he was giving me a really, really hard time and that he was gonna move out. And that was my biggest fear. Now, how do I afford the mortgage? You know, and I'm in work and I'm away from my desk. I'm hiding in the hallway because I'm crying. I'm trying to text him, you know, please. And he wasn't answering any of my texts. I went back to my desk and I sat down, and the Lord said, Diane, I've got this. It's okay. And it was like an immediate shh came over me. I texted him back.
Can I have that sound effect again? How did it go?
Shh. I texted him back and I said, you know what? You do what you have to do. And I left, and that magically disappeared. That went away. So it's an awesome feeling.
Yeah,
but
cool stuff.
Yeah,
cool
but stuff. It's like, you know, that couldn't have happened. When you ask the Lord for something, when you need His help, you have to believe it. You know, the words just can't come out of your mouth, and you have to actually feel it and believe it.
Yeah, yeah. You trusted Him. And that trust set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And you watched Him. It just opened up the hands of God to just pour out everything He wanted to give you and then some.
Yep. Yeah.
Awesome stuff. I'm so glad you told your story today. So is there anything that you'd like to publicly thank God for other than what we just talked about before you stepped down?
Well, I would like to thank God for my parents, because without my parents, I have my brothers and my sisters and my nephew here supporting me today. I love them. Thank you for coming. And I would also like to thank the Lord for filling. I now am always full. I always feel full. There's no emptiness, and I carry Him around all the time, and it's an awesome feeling. Well, that's what I would like to thank Him
that
for.
That is great. That is great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah,
you did great. By the way, I love extended claps. You could have carried out for another minute or two. I'm good with that. So, I asked somebody that many of you don't know. It's not well known here. Occasionally shows up, doesn't show up, does show up, but. But someone who's dear to my heart, I've asked Pastor Nick to come up and share a story. Yeah. Come, join me in the hot seat. Because these lights are a bit much. I didn't realize it.
Yeah, it's hot.
I might have lost this then if I realized it.
I'd rather just sing a song.
No, you're not singing. You're not singing. We have a red light on this mic. Does that mean it's going?
Batteries, yeah.
Batteries, okay. You know what? I'm just going to switch to another mic.
Grab mine right
Let's
there.
Grab next mic, okay? All right. Okay. All right, we're good. All right. So, how you been? Long time no see.
Yeah, right. Nervous and jerky, like normal.
You're with me. Why? Because you don't have your guitar in your hand. That's your comfort.
I hide behind that all the time.
It's like Linus's blanket, right? Just don't start sucking your thumb.
No, I won't.
Okay. All right. So we meet every Tuesday, John and Nick and myself. And you know, something that kind of caught hold of me that I wanted. I told Nick I thought was a good narrative, because we a lot of times think that God is the lightning bolt, you know? When he speaks to me and something's going to happen, the bolt's going to come out of the heavens, going to split the sky, it may hit me, it might land next to me, and then I'll know God is doing something in my life. And as Nick and I have been getting to know each other and grow together in our faith and our journey together, I've listened to him and how God has reached out to him and made his call on Nick's life evident to him and real to him. So I know you told me how it started with I mean, you've guitar. Did you grow up playing the guitar?
No.
All right, so let's pick it up from there. You
I still don't know how to play guitar. It's a God thing. Well, I guess I have to start a little bit more in the beginning than that. Left my job in Manhattan. Got a job at Brookhaven National Laboratory. Hey, Dan. And in the early month or whatever, starting out there, I became friendly with one of the other guys that was in my group, who happened to be Mary Ann Malcolm's husband. Well, he wasn't her husband then. She didn't even know him then at first, but George Malcolm. And he was a very similar kind of person as I was as far as things that we did that weren't so good. But then all of a sudden he seemed to have changed. And then he was going to a Bible study at the lab with this other guy, Pete, who I think kind of ushered him into the presence of God. And they invited me to go to the Bible study, which I didn't want to have anything to do with because I'm Catholic. The only people that know anything about the Bible are Jehovah's Witnesses. My mother always told me, stay away from them. You know, I guess a normal kind of background thing. But he kept hitting on me in a sense that, and gently, which was, I think, a key factor. He didn't condemn me for anything. He didn't look down on me for anything. He just was my friend. So they wore me down enough, and I eventually went to this Bible study, which was teaching on the book of Revelation, of all places to start your journey with the Lord. And so hearing these judgments and stuff was going on in the book, it literally scared the hell out of me. So I became a believer, basically through this gradual process of learning the Word. And then they took me to a Bible store, and I bought my own Bible, and then I brought it home, and I was reading after dinner or whatever, and my wife was going crazy. Like, what kind of fad is this? What kind of cult are you getting involved with? She didn't want anything to do with the Bible or me at that point, I guess. And there were some other things going on there. But anyway, so I started reading the Bible on my own, which is something I had never done. I stole the Bible once. On a fire department trip, I stole the Bible from the Howard Johnson Motor Lodge that we were staying at. So I had this blue Bible, King James Version, and I tried to read that a couple of times, but it was not a very good experience. So anyway, I started reading the Bible on my own, and then they became a members of this organization called the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. Try to write that on a check. And they invited me to go to these dinners that they would have once a month. And there was no teaching or preaching allowed, only people who shared their testimony, which was the key to the organization's success. If you were a pastor and you were a guest speaker, you couldn't preach. You could only share your personal testimony, which was great. Anyway, I really liked this group. I started to go regularly with George and started to go to the business meetings. And at this one business meeting, the guy that was going to play a couple of songs before we did the business part was tuning his guitar. And I'm looking at him like, me and being in tune is really a serious event. So he looked at me, he said, "You play?" I said, "No, not at all. I could just tell that you're not in tune." So I said, "My dad has a guitar someplace in the attic, but I never played it." So he said, "Well, why don't you bring it down here? I'll show you some chords, and you could start playing along with us if you like." And I did. I got the guitar from my dad's house and fixed it up as best I could. And I started coming down, and he was teaching me chords and teaching me some songs, and I'm playing with them. And next thing you know, I'm playing in front of 150 people at a dinner, shaking in my boots, by the way. And that was kind of how the call, you know, began in my life through the music ministry. And we became really close, and we played all over the place. And then we started a group called Earthen Vessels, and we played music for churches all over Suffolk County in those early 80s. And I guess what happened next is kind of weird, but I felt that when we went places to play music for these churches, that I should share something from the Word. Just doing the songs, you know, from the beginning wasn't like, I felt like I needed to do more. And so I started to share a little passage, you know, from the Bible. And then months later, I'm thinking to myself, what gives me the right to, you know, share from God's Word? I don't have any credentials. I'm nothing. I'm just, you know, some guy who's learning how to play some songs, and being deathly afraid of being in front of people wasn't a help either. And I decided to send away for correspondence courses so that I could earn a certificate or anything that would give me some kind of credibility that would allow me to share the Word and not, you know, get thrown out, basically. So I did a couple of courses like that, and I was getting a little bit more and more into the whole calling, if you want to call it that. And then I was diagnosed with testicular cancer, and that floored me. And I spent a year in and out of Sloan Kettering in the city with multiple surgeries and chemotherapy and all kinds of stuff. But I'm here to complain about it. Lost my hearing and everything through the chemo. But I want to say that I ran away from God. But I didn't run away from Him like, you know, still involved with music, still praying, still reading the Bible, whatever. But I ran away from the calling on my life. I was afraid that either I did something wrong or I wasn't in His will, and He allowed this to come in my life to try and get my attention and get me back on track, because I was going off the tangent someplace with this Bible study credentials thing. So I ran away from God's calling for maybe 10 years, I guess. And I came here in 1989, and I have for 3 months, you know, it's like, all right, we'll come and visit this little church, but I'm not staying here.
Yeah, that's it. Don't get me involved.
I'm not going to play. I'm not going to do anything.
I've been saying that since I arrived, but it's not working.
No, it doesn't work. But he never let me go. He just kept nagging me. And, you know, I've been the music director of the church since 1990. So I've been here a long time, and nobody knows me, like Pastor Vinny said. You know, I frequent the place once in a while.
I was being a wise guy.
You can't help yourself. So then it got to a point, like 1999, where I couldn't stand it anymore because God was still pulling, and I kept resisting, and then I just bit the bullet and gave up and entered the Nazarene School of Ministry and spent 8 years, you know, doing the 24 classes that you need to apply for ordination. And I was ordained in May of 2007, and the rest is history, as they say. And I don't know, what else you got?
No, that's you know, I think that what struck me is that the journey that God takes us on at times, and it's never as quick as we would like it to be. It's not as smooth as we would desire it to be. There's a lot of glitches and ups and downs and difficulties and so on. But if we just walk with him, you know, we kind of find our way through it. We understand what he's doing, but the clarity is not always there. You know, and most, it's not God, it's us, right? That's, you know, Tony spoke today earlier about thanking God for the clarity. It's not always there, and that's part of God's arrangement of grace pouring out on our lives. It's His grace that the timing is perfect. What He has to say is right on cue, and I think He's so gracious to wait, you know, to nag, as you put it, you know. And just kind of coach us along, you know, to say, I do have a plan for you. Because I think a lot of times we doubt, God, are you really interested in me? You actually could do something with my life, you know? And the answer is yes, regardless of who you are, regardless of where you're at. You know, we're talking about, and I'll mention it before we go today, but just God's plan and God forming a story in your life. And we're all there. Regardless of where you are at in the whole God scheme of things, you know, whether even if you haven't even started down that trail yet, God has a story for you, and He's forming it, and He's desiring to form it, and it's when we can catch a glimpse of that things start to happen. And so that's what kind of really caught me, is that God was just like a little bit more, a little bit more. And, you know, from the outside, we can look at it going, what's taking that person so long? I mean, if I told you how long some things took place in my life, you go, holy mackerel. But if anybody was watching from the outside, they're going, what's going on in his life, right? But God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. And I want to tell you, if you're sitting here today, God knows exactly what he's doing in your life too. Yeah? And so I just thank you for overcoming your nervousness without your guitar and coming up here today and sharing that with us. Because I bet, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I bet you many of you know Nick for all these years, far longer than I do, and you didn't know that part about his journey, you know? And I think it's helpful to know that. I really do. So with that, I'm going to ask you to stay up, because we're going to move towards, and call Tiffany up, we're going to move towards our world evangelism offering. And again, you know, for those who are members in the church, we have we put different envelopes, different kinds of envelopes in your bulletins and stuff in weeks past. But if you are here today and you're visiting and you so desire to want to give something, this is the time to give it for world evangelism. So let's take a moment and pray before we play and take that offering. Father, just thank you, God, for just another story and what Nick has shared, Lord God, and you in his life, Lord, as along with the others. Lord, we ask that now that you take this offering and you bless it, because, Lord, we would like to be a part of you forming your story in the lives of others all around the world. And we can trust that when we give to this offering, oh God, you are doing that. You're taking every penny of the money that goes into these offerings and not using it towards administrative costs, but giving it to those areas and those people and those pastors and their families and those churches that need it the most. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be a part of it. Bless this offering as you do all offerings. In Christ's name we pray. And all the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen.
Sanctuary for you.
prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
No batteries.
Hey, here, bro.
I'll take that. Okay. Right. The essence is saving some time. Just do that one song for now. Okay. Okay. So one person left, and before I invite him up, I just gotta prepare myself for this one. So I made sure I came prepared today. All right. Paul Galluzio, come on up. All right. You'll understand as we go on why I'm putting on the helmet, but I just figured I'd strike the first blow.
There you go.
Right. Comfortable? Can I get you something to drink?
No, thank you.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. So we have, you and I, remember that line from Dances with Wolves? Did you ever see that movie?
Yes.
So there's a part in that movie that, I'll take this off. I trust you. I don't think you're going to do any harmful thing to me today. So, so in Dances of Wolves, they get to a point where Kevin Costner's character is going to kind of go off because the army, Union Army, is after him. But he has built this relationship with someone significant in the tribe. And they're smoking a peace pipe at the tail end of the movie, and they're connecting. And he just says to Kevin, he goes, "You and me, we've come a long way." And so I can say that about you and I.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so I've invited Paul to come up and to share his journey with us, because it has been, and it's just like everyone that you've heard today, the story's not over. It's still being written. It's still being formed. It's not completed. God is still doing things. And a lot of times we want a completion, right? I mean, especially as guys, if you're cooking a meal, women, you want to get to the point where you can actually sit down and enjoy it, right? And for guys, they got their checklist, and they want to get to the end of that checklist, and they want to check it off, and they know, okay, I got that done. I got that taken care of. So, but with God, I mean, you can get a little check here and there, but there's still a work that's being going on. And so we date back to Franco Belli Plumbing and Heating in the heart of Brooklyn.
Before that.
When
you worked at Salco.
Salco Plumbing Supply. When I worked there, that's right. We connected there. Little did we ever know. Did you ever think that
it would come to this? No.
No, really. And we're still scratching our heads about that,
yeah.
Right? And what was great was when it kind of switched and I left Salco Plumbing Supply to take a position as a head purchaser at Franco Belli, Paul was there. And I lived in Valley Stream at the time, and we would meet up at Dunkin' Donuts, have coffee, sit down, but I'd have material in my trunk to save him the trip from going into the heart of Brooklyn, because he was probably doing a job in Queens.
Because we were more interested in getting the job done than the boss was.
Yes, yes. But we won't get into that
no,
right now. Okay,
no.
We're not here to... Yeah, so...
Yes.
So anyway, but then and we found out that we have the same birthday.
Yes.
We're just 10
just
years apart.
Many years apart.
10.
I'm much
it's
younger.
It's only a decade.
I'm much younger.
That
and better looking.
So as I was saying... you know, and he's always reminding me, I'm always getting, that's why I put the helmet on, because I'm always getting the old man slams, you know? You wouldn't think of talking to your father that way, would you? Yeah, he's here, he's listening too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, so we connected, and let's kind of go from Franco Belli. We connected there, and then things started to change.
Right. We stay in touch, I mean, on and off.
Right.
You know, a Facebook post here or there, a text on the birthday. On our birthday, 2016, we texted and I told you what was going on, that I was going in for surgery.
Right.
You know, I needed some lung surgery, and I told you I was going into the hospital.
Serious stuff, right?
So, yeah, I mean, you know, potentially serious stuff. I was supposed to be in the hospital 5 to 8 days. You'll find out the rest in a little while. And then we exchanged birthday pleasantries, and he said, I told him where I was going, what I was doing. He said he was going to pray for me, that he would be in touch with me. And then it happened.
Yeah.
Then he apparently texted me when I was in the hospital, and I was...
But someone got a hold of your cell phone.
My wife had my cell phone, and I was in a coma. And Vinny and my wife started communicating, and Vinny was my wife's rock. From what I understand, any time my wife felt in need, Vinny was there, just with prayer, and it was just the fact that my wife had my phone, and Vinny texted to see how I was. It just worked out perfectly that, like, God made that happen. Like, God brought Vinny to Patty through me. And then, I mean, I was in a coma for almost 40 days. I was supposed to be in the hospital 5 to 8 days. I was in a coma for, like, 38. I mean, I'm not sure. I this week I got medical records because I'm trying to do a doctor, and I started reading things, and I'm like, that day. Like, I don't remember any of it. And then Vinny started to come and visit at the hospital. Came a couple of times, and he was with Patty. You know, Patty told me he helped her out immensely. You know, just the one thing I just kept asking Vinny, I mean, I went in the hospital, a union plumber, of 215 pounds. Vinny came to the hospital, I was 140 pounds. I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk. I was writing on a board to Vinny, why? And I didn't know why. And I kept asking myself, why? And through speaking with Vinny, fast forward to North Shore, and then here, and my growing relationship with God, I don't say why anymore. I say because. It's not why. I just got to chill, just because I think that's the first time I ever said that out loud. I don't find myself saying why. I find myself saying because. I mean, a little history. Like Pastor Nick, I grew up Catholic, and I used to see the guy on TV holding with the crazy hair, holding a sign that said John 3:16. Rock and Rollin' Stewart's the guy's name, because I did some research on this. And I grew up Catholic, and we used to go to Mass every Sunday, and I could recite every word to the Catholic Mass. I had no idea what 3:16 meant. I went to Catholic school in 11th and 12th grade. I started to develop a little bit of a relationship, and I knew what 3:16 meant. I started to learn. I went to St. John the Baptist. I started to learn what 3:16 meant. I learned the words. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, so you may have eternal life. I mean, that's, you know, the version that I was taught in Catholic school. Fast forward to my surgery. I mean, I've had instances where I've grown close to the Lord and then went away. I mean, I was involved with, you know, youth group in church, and I led concerned teens in the Catholic church, and I went on retreats and led retreats, and I was in and out, you know, but there was always something. And I was always, for some reason, God always brought me someone like Vinny. I mean, I can name three other people in my life similar to Vinny who have a much stronger calling than I am, but have helped me get back to my calling. Fast forward to the surgery. I was supposed to have the surgery on January 27th. Something happened, I failed the test, blah, 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 blah. They rescheduled the surgery for March 16th, 3/16. I have two good friends in town. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Were you gonna go to heaven on 3/16? Or were you gonna get eternal life on earth? Wow. I mean, and I thought it was so significant, and still to this day, like, that was my sign from God that I was gonna be okay. No matter what, I was gonna be okay. Regardless if it was gonna be on the earth or in heaven above, I was gonna be okay. I was gonna have eternal life. And through Vinny, I started to question again and get closer to my faith. I went to this service 3 years ago in North Shore, and I spoke in front of the people. And I was thankful then for being alive, my family. I'm thankful for so much. There's so much more now that I realize that, my family is a gift from God. My friendship with Vinny is probably a gift from God, all right? I would go to church on and off there. I would go to Catholic church, and I just never felt at ease at Catholic church. I remember people ask, I remember sitting in St. Joseph's Church in Babylon, and the priest says to me, priest says in his sermon, what is God to you? And I looked up, and every Sunday I would sit there, and I looked at the stained glass window. And to me, that was, okay, as the priest is talking, oh, that's God. The stained glass window, when I want to talk to God, I look at that stained glass window right up there, the fourth one back, overlooking the lake, the sun hits it right. And to me, that's where I thought God was. And then I came here a couple of times, and I started to see the companionship, brotherhood between Vinny and Pastor Nick and Pastor John and other people. And I just felt at home. I felt like God wasn't in a stained glass window anymore. God was in my heart. And sometimes, when I hear Pastor John say, God was waiting for you here, he wasn't waiting for me because I brought him with me. Okay? I mean, that's the way I feel now. And I've been reading these things, and I hear people talk about anxiety. I mean, I struggle. Every day I struggle. I'm so far from perfect. And
can I agree on that?
Certainly. Amen. And all God's people said, the draw to Vinny, there was something more than us being friends. There was something bringing us together. And I read things now, and I read things that I never thought, I would read. My son plays college baseball, and you see all these college baseball players, a lot of them have, on their Instagram page or their thing, they have a Bible verse, okay? And this week, I learned this Bible verse. I never, of course, Catholics, and this says a lot for me, okay? Because I saw some kid who my son was playing baseball with, and he had this Bible verse that's Luke 12:48. It says, but the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. But for everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and much will be entrusted with much, and much more will be asked. And like I told Vinny, I just feel now, here I am, Lord. I mean, it's another step of my journey. And I hope to be part of something. I'm not done. I have a lot more to do, and I have a lot more to give, and that's amen. That's just the way that I feel.
I'm kind of enjoying what you're struggling for.
Can you tell we're friends? Oh, right. We're friends. I can't shut up. That's another thing we have in common. Aside from a birthday. I can go on and on and on.
Well, you're Italian. It's just natural. So I've just loved watching God work in your life and the journey that you've been on. And I know it hasn't been easy, but that you continue to walk.
Because.
Yeah, because. And I think that's a great thing. It, from the why to the because. Because God has a purpose for every one of us. He certainly has a purpose for you. And we just don't realize what it might be. But again, in time, I think God can reveal it to us. And it's just a matter of staying before Him and experiencing Him. So I want to thank you for being here today. I'm grateful for our friendship. It's been a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. For me, it's been very humbling. Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. In many ways. I mean, besides the abuse part of it, because I'm going to say to you, a lot of times, we think, who am I? I'm just going through my days and I'm doing my thing. But you have no idea how God might be using you. And to me, that's humbling, because it's not like I could actually have said or planned out, I think I'm gonna become someone significant in Paul DeLuzio's life. I mean, that would be the first. That would be a lie if I ever told you I thought that was what was running through my mind. You have no idea who God might use you in the life of another person. It's just a matter of showing up and being who you are, wherever you are in the journey. It's not about like, okay, when I get here, then God can use me. Or when I arrive over there, God can use me. I'm telling you. It's the furthest thing from the truth. He'll just use you in a different way when you get further on down the road. But He can use you right now, where you are, exactly how you are. Whatever is defective, whatever needs to be repaired, we're all in the workshop, day to day. God's got to work on our lives, But He loves us. So it's no big deal for Him, And so I'm just glad to be able to be a part of the journey and to know not only you, but your family, your son, Patty, your parents, and the others I've met in your family. I'm grateful to be a part. I feel adopted. Actually, I'm still working with your dad on the paperwork. It hasn't come through yet, but I know he's a man of his word, and I just believe it's going to happen. You're not putting a kibosh on that, are you?
You want to become my father?
No. Adopted in a family.
I'd get so much
No,
I just thought you were looking to be a second father.
No. That's immature. I want nothing to do with about trying to be your dad. I don't know how he's done it all these years.
You're closer to his age than you are mine.
Well, I am closer to his age, but we won't go there right now. You're lucky I dropped, you saw I came this morning, I dropped the gloves, the stick was down, I just had the helmet just in case. So, adopted as a brother into the family.
You didn't have to worry about it messing up your hair. I couldn't wear a helmet.
We're kind of coming close to the 2-hour mark. You guys still with us, or you ready to? Okay, I'm getting the sign. So, we're going to move towards just one closing thought before we move towards closing the message. Pastor Nick and Tiffany are going to come, and they're going to pray over the meal so that we can go straight from here and down and partake. One closing thought I want to share with you. The Bible says that he who began a good work will take it on to completion. In fact, I'll do it some justice here. It says this. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you that God is in work. What do we put in the boxes? What's that? Yes, what about them? Right, okay, I will, thank you. I will pray over those boxes before we go. Which are actually sitting where the altar was for the time, but just think about the boxes being up on the altar. I want to say this, that he has begun a good work, and in this, he wants to complete it. Now, we don't know what that really means, but we know that we're heading in the right direction based on our relationship with him and with one another. So let me pray, and then Nick and Tiffany will come and lead us in a closing song and pray with the fruit. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God, for what we see before us. Lord, each one of these boxes represents a child somewhere in the world. A child who needs to hear your love and sense your love. And these simple gifts, Lord, have such a way of expressing your love to them. We believe, Father, that with every gift that has been packed, love has gone into it, but most of all, your Holy Spirit resides over it. That when these children open these boxes, they are going to not only receive that gift, but the gift of your touch upon their lives. Lord, making a difference throughout their entire lives, because many children's lives are impacted, and they are never the same after they have had such an experience. Lord, I want to thank you for those who gave, who packed, who loved over those boxes, oh God. And we trust that you're going to do a great thing in and through our gifts as they go out into the world. Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for these gifts. And we commit all of it into your hand, oh God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
we could know you better and know your intent for our lives, which is the very best. And we just thank you for all your provisions. And we pray that we never forget to stop and say, wow, thank you so much. And we pray for everything you've provided downstairs and the food that fills our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. See you down there. Chow down.